You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. A recent prison report served as a reality check for the Project Prison Reset Committee in South Dakota. It was perhaps less of a surprise for those who were on a study group related to the prison proposal in years past. Linda Duba is a Democrat and former state representative. Gene Hunhoff is a Republican and former state senator. They are today's Dakota political junkies. Senator Gene Hunhoff, welcome back to The Moment. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. The timing is right. I just finished another batch of kolaches for check day, so I can sit down and rest a few minutes.
Nice. Representative Duba, welcome back. Thank you for being here as well.
Well, thank you so much. I'm in Denver. My grandson turned one on Friday, so we've been having fun.
Oh, what a wonderful insight into what's happening in our lives. I love that. All right, I want to start with a couple topics, and one is something everyone's talking about. And Attorney General Marty Jackley will be in our studios today answering some details about the 287G program, which is essentially a force multiplier for immigration enforcement, where there are partnerships signed with organizations at different levels throughout the country. It's been around for a while. There have been some problems with it in the past. And now the Trump administration, the second time around, is really increasing those memorandums of understanding. So we'll be talking about what exactly this means to the Attorney General. But as you, as former legislators, when you see the governor saying, I want the highway patrol officers to have a memorandum of understanding with DHS and with Immigration and Customs, and the Attorney General is saying, yes, I would like DCI agents to be making these partnerships, I'm wondering what kinds of questions you would be asking of the governor and the attorney general, both elected officials, about how they're using state resources. And Senator Hunhoff, maybe we could start with you on that.
Well, thank you. You know, I think you alluded that you're visiting with the attorney general. You know, the news releases that have come out about both the governor and the attorney general asking for these memorandums, I think there's not any detail into it. So I think that would be the first. What exactly will that encounter or engage our law enforcement people with? And I think the other thought in my mind, so then are there additional resources that are going to be requested? Are these people going to need some training in that area? That will mean additional resources. And is that going to grow significantly if they're doing that? And what's going to prioritize their time? Is it doing things for South Dakota, or is it with this memorandum of agreement that will be taking on additional responsibilities? Those would be questions that I would be wondering about and wanting feedback on.
Yeah. What kind of transparency would you want to know about the encounters or about the overtime or the resources? Like, what would you want set in place when there's a new program with the federal government so that you can track the efficiency of it and the resource allotment?
We need the data. So we'd need to track, you know, number of hours, what was the mission, what were the costs, did we incur overtime? And then are there funds coming from the federal government to support this, or is this going to be all state absorbed? So we're going to have to create some sort of tracking of this in terms of mission, cost, overtime expenses, and then who pays. To Senator Hunhoff's point, at the end of the day, if we're pulling resources from A, then what are we not doing? Like, if you talk about the highway patrol, then do we have less highway patrol on the road doing their normal job? So we need to understand that.
And then I'm curious, because I'm guessing if you know, constituents would be calling your office and they might be talking about the financial questions, but largely it seems in the press and on social media, the questions people are asking are about civil rights and, you know, community policing, how it impacts that. If people started calling their state legislators and saying, well, I'm concerned about this in my community, then what kind of information would you need to know from a risk management standpoint that says, we want to make sure that we're not getting sued and that officers are really well trained for how to, you know, implement their jobs when they're deputized to do this work. But then also, how is this going to impact our communities, knowing that a routine interaction with a highway patrol officer can now have a direct pipeline, you know, to immigration enforcement. And Representative Duda, you start with that aspect of, you know, constituent relations, and then we'll ask Senator Hunhoff the same question.
100%. I mean, you know what? People have a right to try and understand, what does this mean? Is a regular traffic stop? Could it turn into something different? What are people's rights? What does it mean in my community? For example, we have police officers that visit our schools. Mm-hmm. Well, school is going to be out for the summer, but this is going to be an ongoing thing. So what's happening there? And or are they coming into workplaces? It's undefined to me. I think you're going to learn more from the Attorney General. I'm curious, is it word, but I am concerned, because this is not normally a part of what law enforcement does, whether they're sheriff's office, highway patrol, or city police. So to Senator Hunhoff's point, what type of training is going to occur? And then what kind of follow-up takes place to ensure that we're doing the right things?
Yeah. Senator Hunhoff, what's the pathway for that when legislators are not in session? What's their role? They read these press releases. Are they in communication with the Attorney General and the governor about these decisions, or are those decisions that are really made by the Attorney General and governor? Help me understand that.
You know, I can't speak to that because I don't know. I'm not there. But a couple of things, I want to reflect back to risk management, and I think this does address it. We're talking policy now, policy that the AG staff, the individuals identified, and the highway patrol are being identified as potential individuals that will now be engaging in sort of ICE activities. But that brings with risk management in my mind, what about now the local level? And I think Representative Duba sort of addressed it. You've got the law enforcement, you've got city, you've got county. Where do they interface in all this? You know, I think when you set policy, you don't really then, you know, usually if policy is set, it goes to some kind of rules. And I don't believe this is going to go to any kind of rules. And to answer your question, really, it's policy, unless, back to our first discussion on this, will there be required additional resources for those departments? The budget is set for 2026. So if those costs, were they allocated in there knowing that this might occur, or two, there are no costs, it's just going to be absorbed within, or three, if there's not enough costs, they can't get new dollars from the Appropriations Committee or from the legislature, what they'll have to do is look at transferring within the department to cover those additional costs. You know, I think that, again, we're mixing policy with no resources because we don't know if there's going to be additional resources that are going to be needed. And to me, that's the risk management that's there, in the sense that, you know, what is, and then again, going to those local government law enforcement entities, how are they going to interface with that? Now, again, if that could go through sort of rules as they're doing these memorandums of agreement, but ideally, the legislature really does not, and if we're talking appropriations, unless there would be a change in funding of some sort that would be needed, you'd see it in a transfer, which does not take appropriations to finalize. You just get an area, a notice from the department that says, due to this, we're transferring these dollars because we need these resources. But there would be no allocation of new dollars for anything if some were required.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts on this particular announcement? Any concerns that you have or further questions?
I'm going to make one comment
to
reinforce what Senator Hunhoff just said. If a transfer occurs within our department, we would find out about it. We don't necessarily have oversight over it. And then we have to ask ourselves, all right, what dollars are we dipping into? And then how does it affect whatever those dollars were allocated for? Are these funds that are needed for something else that's important? So this is a cascading effect.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard where any federal, in fact, we all know federal dollars are becoming very scarce right now. So it'll be interesting to see how the legislature and the Appropriations Committee deals with this.
Yeah, and responds. All right, well.
Can I just add one more thing?
Mm-hmm.
It made me think about the data. You know, we heard about the ICE doing the arrests in Madison.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the big story. But what's the data out there? How many arrests have been made in South Dakota? Or is that not transparent information? You know, what's out there to say? And I know the concern is with the, you know, the illegal drugs that are coming in and again, highway patrol stops somebody on the highway and does that and then, you know, is able to. But what's the data out there that says we are, you know, experiencing this, but because we don't have these memorandums, we can't do anything. ICE can't get in on a timely basis. We've not heard anything other than Madison, unless I've missed something.
Yeah. All good questions we will pose to our attorney general, and then we'll have an invitation out to the governor as well to, because it is new and it's something, I think, to your point, you know, people have a right to understand exactly how it is working and the need that it is responding to and, you know, how much it might cost. Yeah. Let's move on to another thing that we do know a little bit about the price tag, and that is the prison project. And since the last time that this group talked, there has been another report that was much anticipated. And the news is, you know, the recommendation that not only is there a 1,500-bed men prison that is proposed is necessary, but that on its heels there will be other facilities because of the growth of the South Dakota prison population. A lot of people are talking about who we sentence and why and what the future is. And Linda Duba, let's start with you. Were there thoughts that when that new prison report came out with, you said, yep, that confirms what I, you know, was thinking, or no, that's a total surprise to me? How did it land with you?
It did not surprise me. We did our due diligence.
Yeah.
We worked very hard for 3 years on this. They confirmed what we were experiencing. The thing that we knew would also begin to impact the prison population was Senate Bill, I believe it's 146 from 2 years ago, which I was vehemently opposed to, and so was Senator Hunoff. We knew, and they point to it in the report saying, because of this bill, we're going to see higher prison sentences, longer prison sentences, more prisoners. We're not going to release them. So everybody keeps pointing to and keeps saying, we've got to change our sentencing structure. We've had to change our sentencing structure for years, and now this truly begins to define it, because there is just, I continue to hear, there's this sentiment out there, and I've read the entire report again, and then I checked out on social media, and people are under the impression that the old prison doesn't need to be replaced. We can just do some updates. Oh, we'll just put another floor on, you know, Jameson and call it good and walk away. Mm-hmm. Or we can use these 26 acres over here. The problem is, and then I'll say this other thing. And then there are all these people saying, follow the money. These construction people are taking advantage of us. These are not individuals that are making these statements that know anything about building corrections facilities. So the bottom line is this. We've had overcrowding for years. Compounded by our sentencing, this is necessary. And the report also says, needs to be located within 20 miles of Sioux Falls. Mm. So all of these things were taken into consideration when we made our recommendation, and they still stand. And you can bet it's going to get even more political.
Yeah.
Great that we're going to look at rehabilitation. Should have been looking at it all along. But that does not solve the problem of ensuring that we have a safe environment for both inmates and for staff that can support ongoing rehabilitation and programming.
Yeah. Senator Hunoff, the report.
Well, I can't disagree with anything that Representative Duba has said, but a couple things come to mind. You know, they're going to have to prioritize. And the old nurse in me always lives by Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that priority in a person, an individual's life is safety, food, and you could say housing. And to me, that's where we need to address this problem to begin with, is we've got to make sure that our facilities are current and that they protect and are both our employees and the prisoners that are there. And that's certainly what Representative Duba had to say. You know, with the, there's a summer study that's going on the prison, too. And part of that is looking at operational efficiencies and also, I think, some behavioral health aspect in there. As I said, a priority is first the security and safety of everyone that's involved with the prison, and it's been agreed to. We do need a new facility. The second piece of that is looking at what we're going to do to assist those individuals once they're released so that they can get integrated back into society and become productive citizens. And I think that becomes a challenge because the expenditure is going to go out for the facility, but we've got to be planning and being forward thinking and put steps in process to how we're going to deal this over the next, you know, 2 to 4 years or whatever that time frame is going to be. And I think, unfortunately, you're going to have to address the housing first and get that taken care of. But at the same time, there's got to be another plan out there that we're looking at how those that are released, we can take care of those individuals to be productive.
Linda Duba, this seems like a lot of it is common sense, but then it's also incredibly complicated. And you mentioned politics. Is that what is in the way here? Politics, money? It also doesn't seem to me like corrections is a new thing that people haven't gotten. It's not like we don't know how to deal with AI, for example, because it's fairly new in our collective consciousness. Corrections has been around since the beginning of statehood here. Help me understand.
That facility was built before we became a state.
Yeah.
So the politics is this. The politics, we were moving along, and when this really started to heat up was when we announced the location. Mm-hmm. And that has continued to be. And then, of course, as a location, so the location became a hot button, and we were putting the funding away, and people were saying, boy, this is expensive. But the location seemed to be the lightning rod. And then when we got our guaranteed maximum price, which it's unfortunate that the legislature did not make that decision to go with it, then that exacerbated it. And we've got a lot of people coming in with all these recommendations. Oh, you don't need to spend that. Oh, you can use what you have. And that is, again, it becomes partly NIMBY, and it becomes we're wasting our money, and everyone needs to take a step back. I wish people would read this report. I wish people would understand that the safety and living conditions in the current facility are unacceptable for many reasons, but it all becomes a political football. We're not going to spend that money, and we're not going to put it where you wanted it. And if we locate it somewhere else, I want people to understand it's going to be much more expensive because now we're going to have to purchase that land and probably do more prep work. So, again, if you're trying to keep the cost down, look at how we were trying to be effective stewards for the state of South Dakota.
Senator Hunhoff, it's also an election year. And by that I mean Governor Roden, who has not yet announced that he's seeking re-election as governor. But people are thinking about a primary in June in the Republican Party, and that brings up Speaker John Hansen, and Carla Lems, Speaker Pro Tem, Carla Lems, who are running on a joint ticket and have been deeply involved in conversations about the carbon capture pipeline, about the prison. And I was watching Speaker Hansen's announcement video the other day, and he said, day one, we want a South Dakota Doge. That's going to be a key part of his campaign of getting rid of the bureaucracy in state government, handling any kind of corruption in state government. Senator Hunhoff, it seems like that's going to be a big talking point going ahead. Does South Dakota have a bureaucracy problem in state government?
Well, it always says it's like in the eyes of the beholder and what the data is. I think that the timing of all this, when we look at what has happened this past year, even less than a past year, with identification of fraudulent activities that have occurred within departments. And I think that has set the tone that if that is occurring, then your bureaucracy is not overseeing and is allowing these kind of events to occur that result, as I said, in fraudulent activities by employees. As far as, you know, the entire government, I'm going to have to say this. It may seem that we have millions and millions of dollars, which we do, and billions in our budget. But when you think about the process that we go through in trying to allocate our resources and the in-depthness that we do, I think that we have been very good at what we're doing. We hold those departments accountable. And I think what's happened this past year is that the legislature was really focused on policy. You identified the issues that have been out there that drove the legislature this year. But if you look at how the decisions were made, and I'm going to go back to appropriations because that's where, you know, you're going to say you're going to have the heaviness because you're going to cut dollars because there's abuse there and we're not doing a good job. But those dollars are scrutinized. But this year they weren't. In the sense that people, and it's neither right nor wrong, but when you had a new appropriations committee and you only had two or three people on there that had been around before, they had no idea of what was out there, what questions to ask, and more importantly, to go back to the data, to those departments. When you fund a department, they have expectations, and they are supposed to be accomplish those and come back and report on those. And I don't think we saw that. And so by dismissing that and focusing entirely on policy, we can now generate that from these isolated incidences that have happened over the course of the year in DSS and in public safety. Now we have a big issue and there's abuse. But I don't believe that's true. But I think if they had done their homework and really delved into, but again, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because they don't know what questions to ask. They don't know what they, you know, should be doing in that sense or what had been done previously and didn't go back and look at that. And I think that's really the issue that's out here, that I think the state has done a good job. I think the legislature has done an excellent job. And our governors have set what their expectations have been. And they knew that when they came to appropriations as to what they'd be. And we've identified areas in the past and we've made adjustments. But I think the focus has gone from those incidents to now elevate when due diligence wasn't done by appropriations for what was the expectation out there.
Linda Duba, it's all about the data. What would you add to that?
It is all about the data. And you know what's even more, Senator Hunhoff is correct. You've got to know, I like to say, you've got to know what questions to ask and where the bodies are buried. But even more importantly, this, and this was an observation I had early on. Senator Hunhoff knows this from my background in business. Our systems are antiquated. I say that lightly, but I'm going to also say it with conviction. We are finally changing our accounting system. When you don't have good IT systems in place that put in automatic checks and balances, you rely on individuals to find the errors, the mistakes. And it is easier to commit a mistake or B, fraud. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we have been investing over the last two or three years in better systems. We also have been hiring consultants to look at processes. We're doing one right now on human services that has been somewhat successful. That was not necessarily an expense or a focus in the past, or we didn't have the funding to do it. Systems are expensive. They require time and energy. And I'll also say this, and this is not new. Again, I've gone on public record as saying this. We were expecting our employees, as we were turning over these new systems, to do their jobs every day and then to be the designer of requirements and the doer of testing. And they, you know, that's too hard. So what state government needs to do going forward, this is not about DOGE. This is about making sure that individuals who are given a task, have the expertise. So let's go out and contract, and there are resources out there to contract people who can write requirements and do testing and make sure systems work before we turn them over. Mm. This is the way we build back trust in government. And we are taking steps to do this. And our Appropriations Committee that Senator Hunhoff and I served on together for 4 years, we appropriated fairly large sums of money to do to look into these departments in DSS, in BFM, which is the entire accounting system, in the Department of Revenue. Those are three big areas. I will also say that the Department of Health, I'm going to give a shout out to Secretary Magstead. They themselves have been conducting audits in their systems in the way they do business, and they're looking at efficiencies. So these things do exist. We can get better. It's not about corruption. It's about having the right focus and the right people to do those jobs.
You know, 2 years ago, we gave BFM, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it $50 million? Representative,
70,
for a new
$70 million.
$70 million. We gave them because it's an antiquated system. And you know, we have been dealing with that over the past years. Every time they would come, there was resistance. Well, why should we do this? Well, if you look at any business, they are updated on their technology, but the state of South Dakota, because of the resistance with the legislature, was unable to do that. We've now given them, at that point in time, the dollars to get those systems in place. And I think to re-emphasize what Representative Duba is, you got to have the tools. But that was always the challenge, to convince our legislature that they needed those tools to get those upgrades to make the outcomes that we need to certainly show that we are efficient in our governmental processes.
So does that work ongoing? If that money was allocated, then will we see the benefits of that BFM appropriation going forward, or was it halted in some way?
No, it's not halted, and we will see the benefit, but it's a 4-year project, and they're now in year two.
Okay.
So again, you have to be very methodical in your approach, and that was the other part of the $70 million. We didn't just buy software. We bought the supports and the staffing and contracted for the staffing that we needed to do the things I talked about.
Okay.
Requirements design, testing, implementation, all of those things are critical. You cannot expect the people who are trying to do their day-to-day jobs to do those things too and do them well.
I see.
So we will see those benefits. I think we're 2 years down the road, but that accounting system impacts every department in state government. And we will be more efficient and effective. And we will pieces in place that will ensure that fraud is reduced.
If you listen each year when appropriations meets at their first meeting and BFM comes and does a presentation, and they did it this year, they give an update exactly as to what they've accomplished so far in this process of implementing the new system. So did listen this year, and there has progress been made, but that's part of the accountability that appropriations set, that you need to come back and you need to show us the outcomes that you had to this next point in time.
And as Senator Hunhoff knows, I'm really big on accountability and systems design and testing. I mean, I have a background in it. So mm-hmm. I think we're getting there.
Yeah. Yeah. Any final thoughts that you're seeing happening in South Dakota state politics that you want to leave us with today? Linda Duba, you go first, and then we'll end with Jean Hunhoff.
Oh, that's a tough question. Senator Hunhoff said it best. We are getting close to an election year. It's a quote-unquote off year, but it's not an off year because of what's going on in the federal government. What we're going to see over the next year is a tremendous amount of belt tightening, and quite frankly, it's a bit scary. We run a very tight budget in the state of South Dakota. We're not looking for new revenues, which is really unfortunate. And Fed funds are getting cut, departments are being affected, but more importantly, people are going to be impacted with lack of services or reduction in services. So I think we need to keep an eye on that and truly understand who are the people that are being impacted. Are there other places where we can go for that? Or are we going to have to cut back and do without some things? Mm. That's my takeaway. and I'm constantly, I'm concerned.
Jean Hunhoff, final words.
You know, I think it's to watch this summer, see where that recommendation goes through, see what those summer studies are producing, especially the one on the prison for the operational efficiencies. And I think you also have a CPS one that's going on. I think that's going to set the tone, but it is already set out there with the individuals that are interested in running for governor, what their policy platforms are, what they're advocating. I think all of that comes into the mix, but at the end of the day, back to Representative Duva. When you got two appropriators, it's where's the money and what are the priorities and what's the best outcomes we can use with the dollars we have to serve the citizens of South Dakota.
Jean Hunhoff and Linda Duva for today's Dakota Political Junkies. We really appreciate your experience and insight and, of course, your time. Thank you.
Thank you.